In marched a squad of about a dozen men dressed in the remnants of their Golgafrinchen 3rd Regiment dress uniforms. About half of them still carried kilozap guns. The rest now carried spears, which they struck together as they marched. They looked bronzed, healthy, and utterly exhausted and bedraggled. They clattered to a halt and banged to attention. One of them fell over and never moved again.
"Captain, sir!" cried number two, for he was their leader. "Permission to report, sir!"
"Yes, all right, number two. Welcome back and all that. Find any hot springs?" said the captain despondently.
"No, sir!"
"Thought you wouldn't."
Number two strode through the crowd and presented arms before the bath.
"We have discovered another continent!"
"When was this?"
"It lies across the sea," said number two,
narrowing his eyes significantly.
"To the east."
"Ah."
Number two turned to face the crowd. He raised his gun above his head.
"This is going to be great," thought the crowd.
"We have declared war on it!"
Wild, abandoned cheering broke out in all corners of the clearing. This was beyond all expectation.
Wait a minute, shouted Ford Prefect. Wait a minute!
He leapt to his feet and demanded silence. After a while, he got it, or at least the best silence he could hope for under the circumstances. The circumstances were that the bagpiper was spontaneously composing a national anthem.
"Do we have to have the piper?" demanded Ford.
"Oh, yes," said the captain. "We've given him a grant."
Ford considered opening this idea up for debate, but quickly decided that that way madness lay. Instead, he slung a well-judged rock at the piper and turned to face number two.
"War?"
he said.
"Yes!"
Number two gazed contemptuously at Ford Prefect.
"On the next continent?" "Yes! Total warfare! The war to end all wars!"
"But there's no one even living there yet."
"Ah, interesting," thought the crowd. "Nice point." Number two's gaze hovered undisturbed. In this respect, his eyes were like a couple of mosquitoes that hover purposefully 3 inches from your nose and refuse to be deflected by arm thrashes, fly swats, or rolled newspapers.
"I know that," he said, "but there will be one day. So we have left an open-ended ultimatum."
"What?"
"And blown up a few military installations."
The captain leaned forward out of his bath.
"Military installations, number two?" he said.
For a moment, the eyes wavered.
"Yes, sir. Well, potential military installations. All right, trees."
The moment of uncertainty passed. His eyes flicked like whips over his audience.
"And," he roared, "we interrogated a gazelle."
He flipped his kilozap smartly under his arm and marched off through the pandemonium that had now erupted throughout the ecstatic crowd. A few steps was all he managed before he was caught up and carried shoulder high for a lap of honour round the clearing. Ford sat and idly tapped a couple of stones together. "So what else have you done?" he inquired after the celebrations had died down.